guys. Is there a such thing as being too stuck? I mean, all fall semester, you're going through it. You're struggling with just a couple of kids, maybe a group of kids, maybe just one class, right? All throughout the course of your entire day. Whatever that may be, I'm here to tell you that this week we're going to focus on three major pivots that you can create as either a teacher or a leader in the middle of the school year. And I'm even going to give you a resource to help you do it. Welcome to the Traveling Principal Show, where we navigate the twists and turns of education one journey at a time with real-world insights, some practical tips, and a touch of inspiration to guide you along this way. Welcome to today's show titled Top 3 Mid-Year Shifts Every Teacher and School Leader Should Make. Guys, welcome back to the Traveling Principal Show. I am psyched to be back in the year 2025. Let's get right into it. Pivot number one, because we're talking about teachers and leaders who have had a rough fall or maybe just want to change one or two things so the spring is much more effective, peaceful, enjoyable. How about that one, right? So pivot number one, let's talk about adjusting academic priorities. So what do we mean by that for teachers? When we're talking about teachers, one of the things that I think is optimal in mid-year, especially when we're talking about pivoting and rescheduling and making small or large change for the spring semester, focusing on this mastery of content is kind of like transitioning from breadth to depth. Does that make sense? Like instead of skimming, you know, let's ensure before we move on that key skills and standards from the first semester are understood. I guess that's where I'm going with focusing on mastery. It doesn't hurt to take some starters once or twice a week and practice what you had taught with the class in the fall. Reteaching strategies, identifying and addressing gaps in student understanding and using semester data to do that, some interventions, some PLCs. If not, just on your own, take a look at your grades, take a look at the data that you produced with your students from August or September all the way to December and January. Of course, this is a great time for project-based learning. You know, launching some creative, integrative projects for the second semester to keep students engaged or to re-engage from a lengthy break. Excellent idea, right? Let's talk about for school leaders, curriculum adjustments, analyzing data from benchmarks or semester exams to refine pacing guides, because I don't know how many school leaders work with pacing guides. And I've been fighting against the pacing guide, right? I've been an advocate to get rid of the pacing guide, but it doesn't seem to be going anywhere and I'm not doing a good job at it. And I think it is supposed to be, instead of a pacing guide, we could just call it a syllabus, right? A shared syllabus, a common syllabi, okay? Supporting some intervention plans, so scaling intervention blocks and enriching opportunities based on first semester outcomes. How about that? And let's talk about resource allocation, right, for school leaders. Reassessing teacher needs, supplies, trainings, and additional support. This is a great time to take a look at what is available for federal grants, state grants. Just take a look at what's going on. You are not in this on your own. And because of that, proof of that is all of the grants that you can apply for to help you move forward. So something that came to mind when I'm thinking about adjusting academic priorities is, you know, I know of a teacher, she was in her second year in New York a few years ago, I'm going back about 10, 15 years. And at the start of this, she tried some new ways of reaching her students with group work, arranging the desks according to some like U shape that was popular in New York City. And it made for challenging classroom environments. right? She started out the year like that, and that's all the kids knew. Never changed it, never pivoted, never did anything different. She struggled with some students that were not doing any work, and then eventually this turned into right behavior issues. So her pivot created routines in lessons from bell to bell. So immediately she met them when they walk in. She had stuff for them to do. She held them accountable throughout the entire lesson plan. It allowed for students to know that they could earn points to increase their grades because everything that they were doing mattered, right? She also met with them weekly and made individual plans to help some of them meet desperate learning targets that were fundamental to not only a good grade in her class, but for the foundation that is needed to learn anything else in her subject area. And so when you do make a pivot based on a focus of adjusting academic priorities, there's an outcome that hopefully will happen to you. All right, pivot number two is refining classroom and school-wide management strategies. And so what we're talking about, because we're changing a pivot, pivot number one, we're talking about academic strategies. Now let's talk about classroom management and school-wide management for teachers and school leaders. So for teachers, for teachers, we're talking about resetting expectations, revisiting classroom norms, procedures, and routines to set a positive tone for the rest of the school year. Do you have them in place? If you don't, perfect time to hit the ground running, start that new process because you had that gap, right? Another thing for teachers that I cannot recommend highly enough, building relationships with your students. Now, some of them are coming off some wild times with their families, if they even have them, if they're even in a home, who knows what's going on. So using the start of the semester to strengthen connections with students who need extra support, albeit inside or outside of the classroom, this is a perfect time to do so. Revising behavior plans. So, I mean, if you're talking about those in the class that you're just struggling with, maybe take a look at the team if there's some sort of an IEP involved or a 504 involved, or get some sort of a school-based support team, SSTs, right? And adjusting strategies for students who need them or behaviors involved. And when we're talking about school leaders, you know, a cultural reset, addressing any lingering challenges. So take a look, what's the major cause, right? Is it tardiness? Is it dress code? Is it hallway behavior, right? And ensure a productive second semester start by creating some sort of challenge, obstacle, goal, right? Like, what is the issue? What do you need to do? How are we going to do that? Who is going to help us do that? And when are we going to do that by? Professional development for school leaders. I put this on the list purposely because this offers targeted workshops to help teachers handle classroom management and behavioral trends. And a lot of times school leaders feel like they need to take that upon themselves. And that's not the way it needs to be. Sometimes they're so overworked. Schools are so huge. You know, let that be the case. Shop it out, right? Visibility and communication is another one for school leaders. If you are finding that the culture in the school, it hasn't been so positive, you got to that position as a school leader because people look up to you. You are good at what you do. Act like it. Go around and exemplify that. Go into classrooms, sit there, work in groups with kids. Let the teachers know, you know, but get involved. Go to meetings. If you have clubs during lunch or some sort of common time, go to them. Don't schedule meetings during that time. Go and get involved. Right? Something that I can tell you there, when we're talking about a fresh start, what if you include tips for implementing this fresh start day or week at the beginning of the semester? And as a leader, one of those key tips I can recall on my own trial and error. And I mean, you know, I learned this through the course of the years when the behavior of students and incidents become a problem. And I guess, in other words, when incidents rise, behavior consumes our time. Same kids, maybe driving everyone bonkers on campus. Who knows what the status is? But I found that one of the most interesting areas that makes an important pivot there, or a realistic pivot there, is best combated by, you know, not laying down the law like Crazy Joe, but by observing, teaching, and practice. I started to make myself more visible, and this changes the course of direction of the attention from, man, these kids are nuts, to, man, I have an observation tomorrow, so let me see how I can bring out my best. And it's important to know that bringing out the best in a teacher usually reduces classroom management concerns down to nothing, right? So that's a little bit of a trick to the trade. Okay, pivot number three. So we're going to call this one preparing for future transitions, because the more you do that, you create clarity and transparency in expectations. And this allows for just an easier attempt, regardless if you're a teacher or a school leader. So let's talk about teachers first. If we're a teacher, what we could create is this almost end of year planning. So take a look at that semester, backward planning to align lessons with long-term goals or testing and final projects, right? We all have to experience that in the spring, regardless to your grade level. And so if there are skills and content that needs to be covered by then, creating a realistic plan to get from where you are now to where you need to go, in addition to where you were all fall, allows for students to be able to have the transparency in the expectations from beginning to end. Right? They can go back, you can revisit, maybe you can share resources for during intervention or additional practice time. But creating that plan really creates clarity in expectations. Also, career readiness for your high school or for K-12, really, social and emotional skills. So introducing lessons to help students transition to the next grade level or prepare for summer programs or prepare for what's coming up in the following year. Is a good thing. It's very motivational. And then another thing that I'll ask for your pivot to try here when we're talking about preparing for future transitions is really reflection. So encouraging students to reflect on the process from the fall and setting goals for the second semester is a very healthy practice, because that notion of reflection is intrinsic to that student. And so every reflection will be different if it's done correctly. It could set some sort of long-term goal. It could be the groundwork for short-term goals, whatever. When we're talking about school leaders here, let's talk about staffing and scheduling. You know, starting early discussions about next year's schedules, needs, and openings. Oh my gosh, let's be realistic about it. As a leader right about now, I'm starting to think who's staying and who's going. A lot of districts I know have till about March, which is March 15th, which is like, quote unquote, the middle of the spring semester. And that's when a deadline for notification should happen. So the earlier you start thinking about that, the earlier you can start finding replacements. I mean, there's no other way of saying it, right? Let's talk about community engagement as well, hosting events or dates to prepare families for end of year activities and changes. I think that's an excellent, you know, again, transparency and expectations. How many times parents are confused about graduation? How many times parents need to know about college acceptance? How many times parents want to know about stepping up? How many parents want to know, about the end of year ceremonies, graduation ceremonies, whatever it may be. Think about that with regards to your community engagement. And then this is a great time for school leaders to work on some vision setting. So sharing mid-year progress with your staff, reigniting enthusiasm and aligning long-term goals. It even could allow you the opportunity to show, listen, this is how we did, but this is what we were focusing on. We're going in two separate directions. How do we bring it back around? You know, that this is a great time to do that. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to drop a resource in the show notes, and I'm going to share this checklist that I created for teachers and for leaders to organize their planning for the second half of a school year. And I'll title it just like I did for this show. So it'll be, mid-year shifts for teachers and school leaders, but using this backwards by design approach. And it's a checklist, so it's a series of questions that you can ask yourself that'll really walk you through that entire process. So let's recap really quickly. When we're talking about three mid-year shifts that every teacher or school leader could make, I definitely feel like adjusting your academic priorities refining classroom and school-wide management strategies and preparing for future transitions are three excellent ways that you can make a monumental shift. I'm not really asking you to reinvent the wheel. I'm not really asking you to go back into everything that you did and throw it all out and restart. What I'm asking you to do is take a look at what happened and identify, therefore, where it is you could do it better. Usually when you think about it in that lens, these three areas of adjusting academic priorities, focusing on management, whether it be classroom or school-wide, and then this preparation for the entire semester, and eliciting that clearly to your students or to your staff, this is how you're going to make the spring so much better. I can guarantee you that with one of these three focus points implemented this spring, you're going to see positive change. I guarantee it. As always, I'm your host, Joe Clausy, saying now is the best time to start when everyone knows that this new year comes with newness. And we all had at least a week away, some people 2 weeks, from the students, which means it organically offers a chance for a fresh start. So try it. Try one of those three. Try anything. Just take a look at what you did and have your own reflection. Thanks for hanging with me, you guys. And please like and subscribe if you enjoyed this show.
Thank you for listening to the Travel Show.
The Traveling Principal Show.
Principal. Okay, start all over.
All right, go ahead.
Thank you for listening to the Travel Principal Show.
Perfect.